From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 30 and verse 6. In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Moab is settled on his lees. He hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Give a man wealth. Let his ships bring home continually rich freights. Let the winds and waves appear to be his servants to bear his vessels across the bosom of the mighty deep. Let his lands yield abundantly. Let the weather be propitious to his crops. Let uninterrupted success attend him. Let him stand among men as a successful merchant. Let him enjoy continued health. Allow him with braced nerve and brilliant eye to march through the world and live happily. Give him the buoyant spirit. Let him have the song perpetually on his lips. Let his eye be ever sparkling with joy. And the natural consequence of such an easy state to any man, let him be the best Christian who ever breathed, will be presumption. Even David said, I shall never be moved, and we are not better than David, nor half so good. Brother, beware of the smooth places of the way. If you are treading them, or if the way be rough, thank God for it. If God should always rock us in the cradle of prosperity, if we were always dandled on the knees of fortune, if we had not some stain on the alabaster pillar, there were not a few clouds in the sky, if we had not some bitter drops in the wine of this life, we should become intoxicated with pleasure. We should dream we stand, and stand we should. But it would be upon a pinnacle, like the man asleep upon the mast, each moment we should be in jeopardy. We bless God, then, for our afflictions. We thank Him for our changes. We extol His name for losses of property. For we feel that had He not chastened us thus, we might have become too secure. Continued worldly prosperity is a fiery trial. Afflictions, though they seem severe, in mercy oft are sent.
As I seek your guidance for the day, I find my thoughts unyielding, confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenges you guide me through, your promises are ever new, I claim them for today. I rest in your care. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Each new day's design is charted by your hand and graciously revealed as I seek your master plan. Keep my footsteps faithful when from you I go. Return me to the joy that your blessings can bestow.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, God's Saving Power in His Incarnate Son, part of this series dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 3 and 4, in which the apostle explains why there is no condemnation for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The first part of the epistle to the Romans shows that, because of sin, the entire human race lies under the condemnation of God's law. The law could reveal sin and pronounce God's judgment upon it, but it had no power to deliver men from their sin. But what was impossible for the law, Christ accomplished by his death on the cross. Verse 3 speaks of God condemning sin in the flesh. As we'll see, this is a reference to Christ's human flesh, in which he bore the punishment for the sins of his people. It is God who is offended by the wicked acts of sinners, yet he himself took the initiative in providing the means of salvation for them. Now Dr. Cairns will continue this message, God's saving power in his incarnate Son.
The law was powerful and still is powerful for its intended purpose. One purpose is legislative. God has laid down his enactments. The law of God tells you the directions and the standards of God that are normative for all life. And whether governments admit it, whether human society will admit it, God's moral law is the standard to which he will hold every creature. This is the standard by which he will judge every man and he will judge every nation. That has never changed and that never will change. So the law is powerful for what it's intended, and its first intention is legislative. The law is also powerful in a judicial sense. In other words, it was not only given to legislate what is right, but to condemn what is wrong. And the condemnatory power of the law is great. Its extent is to the uttermost part of the earth. Its reach is to every man, every woman, every child ever born. So when we talk about the impotence of the law, what it cannot do, we are saying first that in its intended purpose, the law is a very powerful thing. But it is powerless to do anything else. The law is powerless to recover sinners. The law is powerless to help sinners, to find a way out of the corruption that it exposes and that it condemns. The law cannot do that. The law suspends the sword of condemnation over the soul of every sinner. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the law can do nothing to remove that sword. The law can impose the sentence, but it can do nothing to remove the sentence. That is the impotence of the law, and that's the impossibility. We are told that it was weak through the flesh. Now, what does that mean? It means simply that the law was not given with the intention of dealing with corrupted flesh. The impotence, the weakness, the inability of the law is not because of anything lacking in the law. It is just and holy and good. It is spiritual. It is all that God intended it to be. But he never intended the law to be a means of recovering the guilty. In other words, it has already condemned sinners, you and me, for our sin. It has imposed the sentence, and the law can never repeal that sentence, bring relief to our souls. Now, when I say that, I'm saying what is fundamental to the whole biblical revelation. Everything in Scripture makes that clear. And yet, as soon as I say that, I have given you a repudiation of all of man's religion. All of man's religion, even those that talk about mercy. For example, Islam is forever giving the mantra that Allah is all merciful. There's lip service to mercy. Judaism, you read any of the rabbins and they will spell this out, that they depend on the mercy of God. There is the statement that God is merciful. But the reality is that they present a way of salvation that is always based on human righteousness. It is based on human works. It is always do and live. Do and God will be pleased. Centuries back, there was a work written. A long time it was not known by whom it was written. Then it became known it was written by a man by the name of Edward Fisher. And Fisher was addressing something that had infected British Christianity. This was brought out very especially in the Scottish church, a Presbyterian church, where Fisher's work was found and reissued with notes by the famous Scottish theologian and preacher Thomas Boston. The problem was this, that paying lip service to all the doctrines of Scripture, there was a deadening doctrine that had taken hold in Christian churches, and it really came down to works religion, paying lip service to grace. They had come down to salvation by the covenant of works. And Edward Fisher, as he gave his introduction to his work, which was called The Marrow of Modern Divinity, this is what he said. He said, we are prone to go backwards to the way of the covenant of works in striving and struggling to leave sin and perform duties and do good works, hoping thereby to make ourselves so righteous and holy that God will let us into paradise again, to eat of the tree of life and live forever. Man working his way back into the favor of God. That's world religion. And by the way, that is, in summary form, what passes for Christianity in most parts of America today. Man working his way back into favor with God. Man cut off from the tree of life. Now making his way back to the gates of Eden so that God will say, you've done well, my child. Come in. Tragedy is, however, that rather than entering into Eden, into the paradise of God, when men seek to do this, they run right into the flaming sword in the hand of the cherubim that God placed at the Garden of Eden, barring the way to the tree of life. Man seeking to do this and that and striving this way and the other way to please God and thereby earn their way back into paradise, actually come right face to face with the flaming sword of divine judgment. Why? Because the law of God condemns. It shuts off the way to the tree of life. It cannot relieve us of the condemnation that it imposes. Let us into the paradise of God. Now, until a man learns that, he has no hope of being saved. But if we do learn that, while it will show us the plight of man and the seriousness of the human condition and the hopelessness of all our self-righteous acts. And by the way, those self-righteous acts can come cloaked in very, very specious garments. How many people would say they depend on grace, but in reality they're depending on walking an aisle, they're depending on the prayer they prayed, they're depending on how well they repented, they're depending on the tears that they shed, and they have little vision or little view or little interest, really, in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. I tell you, where Christ is not being preached, where the work of Christ is not being preached, The gospel is not being preached. I don't care how many appeals there are. I don't care how many times people tramp up and down the aisle. The gospel is not being preached where Christ and his finished work are not being preached. Tragically, that's what's happening in so many places. But oh, if a man or a woman learns, I have no help turning back to try to work my way into favor with God. He'll love me if I pray enough. He'll love me. He'll accept me if I weep enough. He'll love me if I study enough. He'll love me if I give enough. He'll love me if I serve enough. We're brought to the end of that, to give up all hope in ourselves and look for help from another quarter. Then we have hope, because we'll not look in vain. For thank God there is good news, and the good news is, according to our text, God did what man could not do. God did what the law could not do. The impossibility and the impotence of the law. There was something the law couldn't do, but God did what it couldn't do. What was it? He condemned sin in human flesh, without destroying us and damning us eternally. God condemned sin in your flesh. You'd be in hell forever. If God condemned my sin in my flesh, I'd be in hell forever. But here's what God did. He condemned sin in human flesh, without destroying all humanity, indeed. God has been able to execute the law in the fullest extent and yet not condemn sinners whom the law condemned. Now that sounds a contradiction. The law condemned sinners. God condemned the sin of those sinners in real human flesh. And yet he does not have to condemn sinners whom the law condemned. God did this. I want you to notice something. Here's an important biblical emphasis. God is the offended party, and yet he is the one who takes the initiative. Salvation, we are told, is of the law, of the Lord. It's of God. We are told that we were dead in trespasses and sins. You've got this awful description of human depravity. People question total depravity and total inability and total moral corruption. Read the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath. What a picture! Then you've one of the greatest transformations in Scripture. There is the rottenness, the wickedness, the deadness, the depravity of man under the dominion of the devil and under the condemnation of God. Children of wrath. But God. Those two words are the hinge on which our destiny turns. Those two words mark the difference between eternal hell and eternal glory. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Then he gives us, for the first time in this chapter, that glorious statement that's repeated down in verse 8, by grace ye are saved. That's the meaning of grace. Grace is not God patting us on the back saying, you've done your best. That's not grace. Grace is not God coming along and saying to a sinner, I'm going to help you do your best. That's not grace. Grace is God coming to a dead, devil-dominated, depraved, rotten, hell-deserving sinner who's already under the condemnation of a broken law, who can do nothing to save himself and doesn't even want to do anything to save himself. God coming to that sinner, intervening, saving him with a great salvation. That's grace. Amazing grace. You see, we never loved God. Not a sinner in the world loves God. He might love a God of his own imagination, never loves the God of truth. The Bible says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. A wonderful statement indeed. A glorious truth. God took the initiative. The law couldn't do it. But what the law couldn't do, God did.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.